Our son Mike was 4 years old when he went to Switzerland for the first time. My husband Ron worked for the airline Swissair, and sometimes amazing benefits came along with that. We traveled standby for free and were often upgraded to first class. Business colleagues often gave us free first class rail passes and occasionally free hotel rooms as well. So that is how it happened that on Mike's first trip, we flew to Switzerland first class, rode the trains first class, and stayed at the Schweizerhof, a luxury five-star hotel in Bern. The bathroom was the size of our living room. The bathtub was enormous. There was a telephone and an exercise bicycle. Mike thought it was pretty great, especially the bicycle. A couple of years later, another wonderful opportunity came our way. Friends arranged for us to stay at their friend's chalet in the mountains, free of charge and with the use of a car. This time, David, age 3, was along for the trip as well. The travel to get there was very, very long. A plane, a train, a bus, and a long walk up a big hill just as it was getting dark. As we trudged up that hill with luggage and very tired children, Mike said, "This is not how I picture Switzerland." It was misty and cold, the road narrow and winding, flower boxes of geraniums, the Swiss out hiking with their walking sticks, the cows lowing and the cowbells clanging. I said, "Actually, this is exactly how many people would picture Switzerland." Upon arrival, we learned that we had been downgraded to the tiny downstairs apartment. Tiny kitchen, tiny bathroom, tiny bedroom with a double bed, a crib, and a mattress. But the door had to be closed to the bedroom for the mattress to lie flat on the floor. We got into the tiny car and headed down to the village for supplies. After navigating the grocery store, we got back in the car and struggled for what seemed like hours to find reverse. We finally did, drove back, made supper, and tumbled into bed. Sometime in the night, Mike woke up and couldn't get back to sleep. So he and I headed into the kitchen for milk and cookies. "This is not what I pictured when you said we were going to Switzerland." "What did you picture?" I asked. "You know, like the Schweizerhof." I did some mom talk about expectations, flexibility, and appreciation. I believe I said something like, "Every complaint must be followed by one positive statement." Then we went back to bed, and unbelievably, we all slept until mid-morning. I'm talking after 10 o'clock. Unheard of with a 3- and 6-year-old. When we opened the curtains, there were the Alps in all their majesty. Snow-topped mountains, clear blue skies, as close to a picture postcard as you can imagine. Right outside our window. It took our breath away. Surprisingly, or maybe not, this trip with our tiny chalet apartment and tiny car holds some of our best family memories. Today is the beginning of Advent, a time of waiting and anticipation. We like to think of it as a time to slow down and concentrate on the unfolding mystery of the incarnation, God becoming human and dwelling among us. But it is so often a time of crazy busyness and crazy expectations. Barbara Crafton, priest and writer, describes it like this. The run-up to Christmas is for many good people a cacophony of competing demands. Make it perfect. Wrap it up and mail it. Stir it up, cut it out and bake it. Learn it and sing it. Write it and preach it. Stuff it and roast it. If all else fails, kiss it under the mistletoe. This time of year can also be a time of disappointment. Things not as we pictured them, or planned them, or hoped them to be. All of today's readings point to a time to come, the parousia, the second coming, the end times, God's reign of peace and justice. They talk about the unknown and unexpectedness of it all. Even Jesus does not know when this will happen. I do have a note for you, though. There are some manuscripts that leave out the part about Jesus not knowing. It seems those early scribes were not comfortable with Jesus not knowing. And goodness knows we're not comfortable with not knowing either. Yet this is where life is lived, in the not knowing, between times. The important thing is not whether we focus on Jesus' first coming as a baby or his second coming at the end times. The important thing is this. Our God comes into the world to us and for us. And right now, we have this moment. Yes, we are getting ready for Christmas, for Jesus to come again as a baby. And yes, we are getting ready for sometime, we know not when God's kingdom will be complete, when Jesus shall reign as king. But it is this moment, right now, that we have. Be ready. Stay awake, the gospel tells us. Advent invites us to let go of preconceived notions of how things should be. You may remember that Jesus was not at all what the Israelites thought they were waiting and hoping for. Not at all what they thought a Savior should look like, or talk like, or be like. Jesus was born to poor parents who hadn't been married quite long enough. They were poor and afraid, living in dangerous times, trying to find safety and welcome and a place for their baby to be born. Because there was no room at the inn, a crude stable had to suffice. Lowly shepherds and common animals attended the birth. Yet wait, there was also a brilliant star, an angel, a heavenly choir, like lifting the curtain and seeing the Alps right outside your window. It seems to me God is big on surprises, big on not meeting our expectations. Big on giving us more than we can ask or imagine. Right here, right now, is where Advent invites us to live. Not forgetting the lessons of history, and not without anticipation of what could be, but right here and right now. We don't have to let go of treasured traditions as long as we still make room for the quiet inner waiting. the holy preparation for Jesus to be born anew. To receive this gift, we may have to loosen our grip on how we think things should be. Whether it be a trip to Switzerland, what the Savior will be like, or some unattainable Hallmark Christmas. When we let go of visions of a 5-star hotel, we might just be wowed by the majesty of the Swiss Alps, or the angels singing of peace on earth, goodwill to all. We might find God with us in a tiny apartment or a crude stable.